week we studied the subject of the authority of God's Word. We saw that God's Word is truth, complete, sufficient, and authoritative. Now we move on to the next question. How do we understand and apply Bible authority? It is possible for someone to say, I believe the Bible is God's Word, but then still practice things God has not authorized. So this lesson is not mainly asking, does God's Word have authority? We discussed that last week. The lesson this week, today, asks, how do we know what God authorizes? How does Scripture teach us? How do we tell the difference between an authorized aid and a forbidden addition? How do we know whether something is from heaven or from men? A simple way to remember the lesson is this: when God speaks, faith listens. When God commands, faith obeys. When God shows an approved example, faith follows. When God's word necessarily implies something, faith accepts it. When God specifies, faith respects the limitation. When God is silent, faith does not presume. And when God gives generic authority, faith may use lawful aids. Before we can apply Bible authority correctly, we must learn to ask the right question. Many religious discussions begin with the wrong question. Some want to know or ask, what do I like? What have we always done? What do other churches do? And some ask, what seems harmless? But the faithful question is, what saith the Scripture? Scripture must give the answer. Paul appealed to Scripture as the answer when discussing Abraham. He said, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, Romans 4 and verse 3. What saith the Scripture means Scripture must answer the question. Paul did not ask, what does man think or what does tradition say? The point is simple. Bible authority begins by letting the Bible speak. God, through Peter, wrote, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 4:11. The Bereans were praised because they tested teaching by Scripture. The Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so, Acts 17:11. Readiness of mind means they were willing to hear. Searched means they examined carefully. Whether those things were so means they checked the teaching by Scripture. The Bereans did not reject teaching carelessly, and they did not accept teaching blindly. They searched the Scriptures. If someone gives you directions, you do not reach the right place by guessing. You follow the directions. In spiritual matters, God has given the directions. Our duty is to read, search, believe, and obey. The first principle of Bible authority is this: ask, what does the Bible say? We must not begin with opinions, preference, emotion, or tradition. The faithful student asks, what saith the Scripture? Like the Bereans, we must search the Scriptures to see whether things are so. Once we ask what Scripture says, we must also ask where authority comes from. Authority comes from heaven, not men. Authority means the right to command, teach, or act. In religion, every teaching or practice must be traced to one or two sources, from heaven or from men. Only what is from heaven carries divine authority. If a teaching or practice is from heaven, we must obey it. If it is merely from men, it cannot bind the conscience before God. We must ask, by what authority? The chief priests and elders asked just Jesus a question about authority. Though their motives were wrong, the question itself is important. Scripture says the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I likewise will tell you, by what authority I do these things." The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him?" Matthew 21, 23 through 26. By what authority means who gave the right? From heaven or of men chose the only two possible origins of a religious teaching or practice. Either it is authorized by God or it comes from man, which is not authorized. The question of Jesus teaches a powerful principle. Every religious teaching and practice must be tested by this question. Is it from heaven or is it from men? Paul warned Christians not to think beyond what is written. He said, "Brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another," 1 Corinthians 4:6. Not to think above that which is written teaches respect for the limits of God's revealed word. Puffed up means lifted up with pride. When men go beyond Scripture, pride often follows. Faith stays within what God has written. If a teacher assigns chapter 3, a student is not free to turn in work from chapter 7 and say, "You never said not to." The assignment gives authority. The assignment also gives a boundary. Likewise, Scripture gives authority and boundaries. Authority must be from heaven, not men. The question is not, do we like it? The question is, has God authorized it? Bible authority must be established, not assumed. We must ask, by what authority, and is it from heaven or from men? We must not think above what is written. Now we need to see how Scripture establishes authority. Scripture establishes authority by what it says, shows, and necessarily implies. God's Word teaches in more than one way. Sometimes God gives a direct command. Sometimes God gives an approved example. And sometimes God gives words that necessarily lead to a conclusion. These are not man-made methods. These are ways Scripture itself teaches. Direct commands must be obeyed. Jesus connects love for him with obedience. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14, 15. Love is not merely emotion. Keep means to obey, guard, and observe. Commandments are instructions given by authority. True love for Christ obeys what Christ commands. A command does not need improvement, it needs obedience. When God commands, faith does not ask, "Can I change this?" Faith asks, "How may I obey this?" Direct commands establish Bible authority. If God commands it, we must obey it. But God also teaches through approved examples. And approved examples must be followed when they reveal approved apostolic practice. Paul Paul told brethren those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you, Philippians 4:9. Learned and received points to apostolic teaching. Heard and seen include apostolic example. Do means practice it. Approved apostolic example matters. God did not preserve apostolic teaching and practice for us to ignore it. Children learn by instruction, but they also learn by example. In Scripture, God gives both instruction and approved examples. Faith honors both. Approved examples help establish Bible authority when they show apostolic teaching and practice approved by God. Scripture also teaches through necessary implication. Necessary implications must be accepted. Jesus proved the resurrection by reasoning from the exact words God had spoken. He said, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living," Matthew 22, 31 and 32. "Have you not read?" shows Jesus appealed to Scripture. Jesus reasoned from God's statement, "I am the God of Abraham." Since God spoke of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as still related to him, Jesus showed that they were still living. This is a Bible example of necessary implication. A necessary implication is not a guess, it is a conclusion that must follow from what God has said or revealed. If a man walks into a room with a wet umbrella, wet shoes, and rain dripping from his coat, we may necessarily conclude it has been raining. The man may not have said it is raining, but the evidence requires the conclusion. In Bible study, necessary implication must come from the text, not imagination. Scripture establishes authority by direct commands, approved examples, and necessary implications. God teaches by what He says, what He shows, and what His word necessarily implies. When God commands, faith obeys. When God gives an approved example, faith follows. When God's word necessarily implies a conclusion, faith accepts it. Now we must apply these principles carefully, applying Bible authority by respecting God's limits and distinguishing lawful aids from unauthorized additions. Many practices are defended by saying the Bible does not say not to. It seems helpful to me. It is just an aid. It is outside the worship hour, so it doesn't really matter. Or it is harmless. But Bible authority is not established by what God did not say. Bible authority is established by what God has revealed. God's silence does not authorize. Nadab and Abihu offered something God had not commanded. The Bible says, "Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. Strange fire means unauthorized fire. "Which he commanded them not" shows the problem. They offered what God had not commanded. God's silence did not give permission. The Hebrew writer shows that silence mattered concerning the priesthood. The Bible says, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Hebrews 7:14. Moses spake nothing means there was no authority from the law for Judah to serve in the Levitical priesthood. God did not need to name every tribe that could not serve. By giving the priestly arrangement, other tribes were automatically excluded. If a mother gives her child money and says, "Buy milk," the child has authority to buy milk. The child is not authorized to buy candy, toys, and games just because it was not specifically forbidden. The instruction gives authority. The instruction also limits the action. God's silence does not authorize. Faith does not presume permission where God has not given authority. Closely connected with silence is the principle of specific authority. Specific authority limits the action. God told Noah what kind of wood to use in building the ark. He said, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch," Genesis 6 and verse 14. "Make thee an ark," it is authorized Noah to build the ark, which is generic authority. Gopher wood specified the kind of wood to be used, which is specific authority. Because God specified gopher wood, Noah had no authority to use any other kind of wood. Noah could use tools to build the ark because tools helped him do what God commanded. But Noah could not use another kind of wood and call it an aid. Another wood would not be an aid, it would be an addition. When God specifies, faith respects the limitation. Specific authority excludes other kinds of action. Now we must distinguish between a lawful aid and an unauthorized addition. Expedience must first be lawful and must edify. Paul teaches that not everything lawful is expedient. He says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." 1 Corinthians 6:12. Lawful means permitted. Paul is not saying that everything imaginable is permitted. He is teaching that even among things lawful, not all things are expedient. Expedient means useful, helpful, or profitable toward a lawful end. A thing cannot be a biblical expedient unless it first helps accomplish something God has authorized. Paul also teaches that an expedient must edify. He says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." 1 Corinthians 10:23. Edify means to build up spiritually. An expedient must not merely be convenient. It must aid or help accomplish authorized spiritual work in a way that builds up. An aid or expedient helps do what God authorized. An addition changes the action or adds another kind of action. A songbook may help Christians sing. A microphone may help people hear the gospel. A baptistry may help accomplish baptism. A building may help saints assemble and study. But an aid or expedient cannot create or establish authority on its own. It can only help carry out authority that already exists. An expedient must be lawful, helpful, and edifying. It must aid what God authorized, not add another work, worship, or practice. One more biblical principle will help us for next week's lesson, God willing. Individual action is not always church action. Paul makes a clear distinction between individual responsibility and church responsibility. He said, "If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed." 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16. Let them relieve them place its responsibility upon individual believers or family members. Let not the church be charged shows that some responsibilities belong to individuals and not to the collective church. This passage proves that a thing may be right for an individual Christian and still not be authorized as the work of the local church. In addition to 1 Timothy 5:16, two other passages help us understand the difference between individual action and church action. In Acts 5:1-4, Peter told Ananias that the land was his own before it was sold. And even after it was sold, the money was still in his own power. His sin was not keeping part of the money. His sin was lying to God. But this passage shows that individual property and resources do not automatically become church property or church action. In Matthew 18:15-17, Jesus taught that a brother's trespass was first to be handled privately. One brother going to another. If that failed, one or two more were involved. Only after those steps did Jesus say, "Tell it to the church." This shows that not every private trespass or individual responsibility immediately becomes church action. A Christian may own a business, but the church is not authorized to become a business. A Christian may eat a common meal, but that does not authorize common meals as a work of the church. A Christian may enjoy recreation, but that does not authorize recreation as a work of the church either. We must not transfer individual liberty into church authority without Scripture. Before the local church acts as a body using its treasury, resources, building, or organized function, we must ask, has God authorized the church to do this? God's silence does not authorize. Specific authority limits the action. An expedient must first be lawful. An expedient or aid must edify. An aid helps carry out what God authorized. An addition goes beyond what God authorized. Individual action and church action must not be confused. Let's now draw some of these thoughts into a closing summary. These principles are simple enough for a young person to understand, but serious enough to guide the whole church. The faithful heart does not ask, what does tradition say or what do other churches do? The faithful heart asks, what has God said? What has God authorized? Some lessons learned. We must ask, what saith the Scripture? We must search the Scriptures to see whether things are so. Authority must come from heaven, not men. We must not think above what is written. Direct commands must be obeyed. Approved examples must be followed. Necessary implications must be accepted. God's silence does not authorize. Specific authority excludes any other kinds of action. An expedient must first be lawful. An expedient or aid must edify. An aid or expedient helps carry out what God has already authorized. An addition changes or adds to what God authorized. Individual Christian action and collective church action are not always always the same. As an illustration, think about the biblical record of Noah. God told Noah to build an ark. God specified gopher wood. Noah could use tools to obey God's command, but Noah could not change the wood and call it an aid. That simple example helps us understand Bible authority. Aids help obedience. Additions change obedience. Notice the chart below emphasizing these principles. Make thee an ark would be generic authority. Of gopher wood would be specific authority. An axe, hammer, or saw would be an aid to carry out the specific command given. Pine, oak, cherry wood, or another kind of wood, however, would be an addition to what God had commanded. Faith does not improve God's instruction. Faith obeys God's instruction. The lesson is yours. It is the Lord who invites, but we await to assist. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?
First, second, and last to make me through. First, second, last. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Where He sends, we will go.